God bless you. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you came to join us for worship today. Thank you so much, Pastor Jason. Thank you, worship team. Aren't you grateful for worship, the team leading us this morning? I want to say thank you for all your expressions of love over the last couple of days. Thank you for all your messages, text messages, Facebook messages. Thank you for all of your cards. Thank you for just every expression of love. Some of you have a warped sense of humor, and some of you have a great sense of humor. Somebody gave me a no left turn birthday card. You know who you are? It won the award for the best, most clever card. But thank you so much. We are so grateful. Got a great birthday present on Friday morning, day after my birthday. There was a wonderful article in the Greenwich Sentinel about our new building. And I like it. I'll take this. I kind of thought, you know, this is sometimes the Lord can prophesy through the newspaper, you know. So the new Harvest Time Church, I think I'll take that right there. So how many of you know it's a new season for us? It's a new day. It's a new time of the Lord's favor. The new Harvest Time Church, a winged wonder arises on King Street. And the reporter who came out and sat with me to talk about the new building for a few minutes, she said, Pastor, I just want you to know that the whole town is buzzing about this new building. She said they love it. They love the architecture. It's so unusual. It's such a striking piece of architecture. And I want you to know that I'm excited about that, because if they're buzzing about the building, we can get them buzzing about Jesus. And that's what it's really all about. So we were so thankful to the Lord for that. Just before I introduce our very, very special guest to come and bless us with the word this morning, I want to take just one moment to express our love and our appreciation and our thanks to a family that has served us for the last 20 years here at Harvest Time. And I would like to ask our friends Andrew and Tara Root if they would come and join me. And maybe if Sam and Audrey, I don't know whether they're in the platform or out of the platform, but would you come and join me very quickly, Andrew and Tara? Andrew, Denise, come and join me if you would, sweetheart. So our first day at Harvest Time in August of 1996 was also Andrew and Tara's first day. We had just moved here from seminary in Springfield, Missouri, and they had just moved here from Canada, and we had a guy in the church who had a real prophetic gift, and I don't think it was the same day, but it wasn't long after that he went up to Andrew with a word from the Lord, and he said to Andrew, stay here and take care of him. And for 20 years, Andrew and Tara stayed here, and they were obedient to the word of the Lord, and they took care of us. Andrew has been our longest-serving consecutive board member in the history of Harvest Time. He's been our treasurer for most of the 20 years that they were here at Harvest Time. And in August, the Lord called them to a new assignment. Andrew left his career on Wall Street and accepted a teaching position at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Pat Robertson's ministry. And so he is teaching business, graduate-level business courses at Regent University. He's actually teaching at Old Dominion University, which is kind of a funny story, and really pouring into a new generation of Christian business leaders to represent Christ in the marketplace. And we just want to take, we prayed for Andrew and Tara and the kids before they left us in August, but we just want to take one moment to say thank you. And Tara and Andrew have done every job in this church there is to do. They led our youth group when they first came here. They have sung in the choir. They have served in the nursery. Andrew has taught Sunday school. They have done children's church and women's ministry. And I don't know what else. I couldn't list them all. But would you take one moment with us and just express all of our love and all of our appreciation to Andrew and Tara for all their service. Would you just do that? We just want to present you. Okay.
We love you guys.
Oh, I love you. It's so good to see you. Oh, so nice to meet you.
Sweetheart, do you want to say anything?
I just want to say just simply and shortly, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your friendship, for your service, for your example to this congregation. You will always be in our hearts, and you're not that far away. Make sure you visit.
No. All right. Thank you. Thank you, friends. Look, come on, one more time. Let's just express our love for Andrew and Tara. Why don't you stay standing for just one moment, if you would, because I want you to, I'm sorry, we're up and down today, but I want you to stand because the Bible says give honor where honor is due, and we are so honored this morning to have a father and a mother in the faith with us. Our friends Bishop Carlisle Chankar Singh and Sister Reverend Dr. Marilyn Chankar Singh have been great friends of ours. You know, Paul said that you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but not many fathers. And this is a true father and mother in the Lord. They have been great friends to us across the years, poured into us. They have prayed for us. Bishop was here 2 years ago and spoke for our missions weekend. And after they went back to Trinidad, where they pastor, he contacted me and he said, Pastor Glenn, would you give us permission to become your partners in missions? And so for the last 2 years, they have been sending missions offerings from their congregation to us for us to distribute to the folks that we work with around the world. And so because of their partnership in missions giving, while we're building this building, their partnership with us has enabled us to do things that we couldn't have done otherwise. We have sown good seed in Poland, in Ukraine, in Africa, in Malaysia, Myanmar, Indonesia, in India, in Nepal, in Thailand. Our friend Raymond Mui right now is on the border of Laos. Our president just came back from Laos, and Raymond's in Thailand, right on the border of Laos, conducting pastor's schools and healing crusades, and the Laotian people are able to come across the border. The country's closed, but because of their partnership with us, we have been able to sow tremendous seed. Over $50,000 gone to the work of rescuing women and children out of sex trafficking through our partners that we work with. So I want you to give your best welcome this morning for our dear friends, Bishop Carlisle Chankar Singh, Sister Marilyn Chankar Singh. Would you give them a warm welcome as they come this morning?
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. All the praise, honor, and glory to God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor to the head of the house, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Denise. It is our delight to be here. Thank you for inviting us. The Lord has been good to you. The Lord has been good to us. As we drove up and I saw the outline of the building, the frame of the building, it is just absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. And God gets all the praise, honor, and glory for that. You know, beloved, it is not by chance that you're building. It is not by chance that you're building such a beautiful building. You know, we go to the malls and we see these malls are so pretty. And everybody wants to go to the mall in Trinidad. They love going to the mall because the mall is air-conditioned. We are 90 degrees most of the year, all of the year. And people love going to the mall because it's beautiful and because it's air-conditioned. Well, we thought when we were building our church, we are going to make it more beautiful than the mall and more comfortable than the mall. So much so when people come into the lobby, they will just be in awe of the beauty. And as they hit the sanctuary, the presence and the power of God will come upon them, the awesomeness of God, and they would start receiving their miracles. They will start being healed, healed in their spirit, in their soul, in their bodies, and it has been happening. And as we looked at the building, we could just feel the peace of God, the presence of God, the power of God that is going to be moving there. But I'm a mother, and as I look at that building, I can see the dollar signs that are coming in. You know, it's going to cost a lot of money. I was studying Pastor Glenn. Such a lovely building. You know, your fine finishes is going to be really expensive. But you know, beloved, God is a faithful God. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what your miracle you desire of the Lord. But you know, as you sacrifice and as you give to the building, whatever it might be, you need a home. As you give to the building, God is no man's debtor. You will be surprised to know the miracles that he's going to give you in your own life. Your healing, your family coming together, the home you desire, the job you desire, as you give sacrificially. Because I know you've given already, I'm sure. Everybody has given already. But you know that greater sacrifice is going to come into your greater blessing. Your greater blessing. Because God is no man's debtor. He's going to reward you. He's going to reward you. And then, you know, we're so delighted to be here for Pastor Glenn's birthday. And I was sharing, we have two children. Our daughter, who visited here some years ago, she was 50 years in March. Our son is going to be 50 years next year, February. And our son, Pastor Glenn, he falls right in the middle. So would you believe we have had three children in 12 months? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Hasn't God been good to us? We are so glad to be here. We really are happy to be here. And God bless you, Pastor Glenn. God bless you, Pastor Denise. What would I want to leave with you? You know, the children of Israel, while going through the wilderness, Moses went to the mountain to pray, and when he came down, they were into idolatry. And he asked, where did this come from? And it seemed like, oh, you went up and something happened, all our earrings and jewelry. Just found themselves together, a golden calf came, and we started worshiping because you were not there. They became hardened in their hearts. And in recent times, you've been hearing the text of scripture that do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. It started in the Old Testament. And I like the spin that was given to that text of scripture. It is not original with me. I found it someplace. But it says, the scripture says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden meaning, don't ignore until you come deaf. But I want to put a spin on it. Today, I will hear his voice, and I will not harden my heart. Isn't that nice? As we submit to the word of God, today, I will hear his voice, and I will not harden my heart. God bless you. Love you all so much.
We would like to join our church and our family at home. We'd like to join in extending to Pastor Glenn our heartiest congratulations on his 50th birthday, and to both he and Sister Denise on their 20th anniversary here as your pastors. You know, the condition of any church is really a reflection of what is or isn't taking place in the heart of the pastor. I want to repeat that. The condition of any church is a reflection of what is or isn't taking place in the heart of the pastor. And this is why when you've been pastoring as long as we have, you don't ever criticize the congregation. You don't ever berate them because they are really a reflection of who you are. And when you sense the love in this place, the warmth, the sense of oneness, the unity, the togetherness, God bless you. You have really blessed us and really ministered to us. And I pray that as you enter into this season of building and growing and expanding, that you are going to certainly experience what the prophet has said, that your latter days will be greater than your former. I cannot allow this opportunity to go by without expressing appreciation to you, the American people. My wife and I got saved when we were teenagers under missionaries. And if you didn't send us missionaries, it is hardly likely that we would be saved, that we would have known the Lord. I came from a broken home. My dad was an alcoholic. When I was a child, I didn't want to live. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you the truth. I told God, whoever you are, God, I hope you're listening to me, and I want to tell you two things. One, I think you're very unfair to have made me. And secondly, if you had to make me, why did you put me in such an unhappy home? Those were the two prayers I prayed as a child. I am not lying, I'm telling you the truth. The seventh of 10 children, a very abusive marriage my parents had because my dad was an alcoholic. And I stand here this morning, and if you don't hear anything I say, because I could hardly preach anything that you have not already heard, God has blessed you with a scholar as a pastor, an anointed man who I'm sure has fed you the word of God. You wouldn't be who you are this morning if it were not for the gifted anointing upon his life. So I don't know anything that I could say to you that you probably have not already heard. But if you don't hear anything, and if you remember anything I've said, please hear this. Thank you. Thank you. And maybe you didn't do it directly. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your grandparents. Maybe it were your great-grandparents. I'm talking about the American people who their prayers and their sacrificial giving sent missionaries to Trinidad. As a result, we are here this morning. Thank you, and God bless you richly. And I speak on behalf of millions of people around the world. America, with all its flaws and faults and weaknesses, I believe God's hand is upon America and has blessed America for many reasons. Perhaps the chief of them is you have helped to spread the gospel around the world. Thank you, and may God bless you real well. We have been privileged to be preaching for many, many years, and I have one message I want to leave with you this morning. Because I believe in my heart, if I had an opportunity to preach one last message, this would be it. One last word. And it seven words. And that is, I beg you to listen to God. I beg you to listen to God. I beseech you to listen to God. And here is why. First of all, God is speaking. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the world through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. God is speaking, and Jesus is God's last word to us. The Bible you hold in your lap this morning is Jesus. The word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word, and he is God's final word to us, and God is speaking. God speaks to me every day. when I think of the words of Paul to Timothy when he said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. When you and I hear God's word, when we deposit it in our spirits and then we go away, the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing that back to us. And Pastor Glenn said after the previous service, and so correctly, when you go home, make sure you get a paper and pencil handy. Even in the middle of the night, God is able to speak to you. Get up and jot it down. I have a habit, if I'm driving and God speaks to me, I pull off on the shoulder and I jot down. If I'm in the restaurant and I have no paper and I have to write it on a napkin, I will write it. I am constantly writing what God is saying to me because I have trained my ear to hear what God is saying. And God is speaking to every single one of us. Some of us may be hearing more clearly simply because our spirits have been trained to listen to God's voice. But even here right now, please, don't think me absurd when I say right now, right here, God is speaking. And he's speaking not only to us as a congregation, he's speaking to you as an individual. God knows you better than you know yourself. Your fears, your hang-ups, your hurts, your disappointments, your challenges, things that you dare not share with anybody. God knows all about them because he is God. He's omniscient and he is speaking to you about those things. And he wants to be your counselor and he wants to be your guide. And he doesn't want you to walk one day into your future without him. He wants to order your steps. He wants to bless you with his wisdom. He wants to dry the tears from your eyes when they fall. He wants to comfort you when human comfort is not enough. God is speaking to you. And he's not only speaking to you, but he's speaking to you out in every detail of your life. He's talking to you about your finances. If you're not a tither, he's talking to you about that. If you are a withholder, he's talking to you about that. If you have not entered into the blessing of sowing and reaping, he's talking to you about that. He doesn't want to withhold the blessing. He doesn't want heaven to be closed up. He wants heaven to be open. He wants to pour into your life. The word of God says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a fixed salary. It's the truth. In the kingdom, there is no such thing as a fixed salary. God has given to you and to me the right to write our own future financially. He says it in these words, give and it shall be given to you. For with the same measure you give, it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, he will cause men to give to you. We have experienced that. We have come from abject poverty. By the grace of God, we have built a building that we should not have built and never borrowed a dollar. And many, well, I don't know how many, but quite a few of our people have come into the ministry, into the church, dirt poor, are multi-millionaires today. I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Dirt poor without even a high school education. Today, big, successful businessmen. And they have learned how to trust God and let God. And I didn't plan to say this at all. And I'm not saying this because I want an offering. God forbid, I don't need an offering. God has blessed us where we don't need an offering. I'm simply saying this because when God speaks to you, sometimes it's all right for God to speak to you about any area of your life, but not to touch your checkbook. And he wants to talk to you about that because he wants to prosper you and for you to be in health, even as your soul prospers. He wants to talk to you about the way you handle your marriage. He wants to talk to you about the way you handle your children. He wants to talk to you about the way you handle your health. He wants to talk to you about the way you handle your ministry. And he may very well be speaking to some of you in terms of foreign missions. And I feel very passionately about this because I'm a product of your missionary effort. And I believe God has blessed you as a result of that. And the world is darker today than it has ever been. And the world is greater need of your missionary effort now than it's ever been. And one of the reasons I believe God has blessed this church so tremendously is because of your missionary vision. I really do. So God will speak to you about every area of your life. I beg you to listen to him. And here is why. He has your best interest at heart. Please dispel anything that challenges that truth. That is the truth. The God who brought you here this morning, the God who brought you out of your mother's womb, the God who knows all your days, they're already numbered in his book. He knows the day of your departure, just like your parents remember the day of your arrival. And he knows everything about you. And he has your best interest at heart. He wants you to be happy and healthy and enjoy your life. The Bible says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. The Bible says in his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It is significant that Jesus reserved his first miracle for a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. He wants you to have fun. He wants you to enjoy your life. And I say that to you because you know what are the first words Satan spoke that we have in the Bible? The first words that Satan spoke are these. Has God said? Has God said? The very first utterance from the devil was a challenge to God's word. And the same thing is happening today. When God speaks to you, he is going to try to get you to doubt that. He's going to try to tell you God doesn't want you to have fun. God is trying to keep you down. There are no new tricks. There are old tricks that Satan brings. And this is why I exhort you this morning. Please listen to God because he has your best interest at heart. He loves you unconditionally. He understands you better than you understand yourself. He knows everything about you. So what he speaks to you is therapeutic. What he speaks to you is comforting. What he speaks to you is edifying. What he speaks to you is strengthening. What he speaks to you is to make you the person that he designed you to be. Please remember that. And that's why I beg you this morning to listen to him. In whatever way he's talking to you, in whatever area of your life he's talking to you, I beg you to listen to him. My wife and I, well, she's older than I am by 6 months. She just celebrated her 75th birthday. And I don't understand. And I don't understand why everybody tells her how well she looks and they never say that to me. But we are so grateful in our 75th year that we have done with our lives what God told us to do. We are so grateful. Has it been easy? No. Have there been tears? Far too many. Have there been griefs? More than I could tell you. Heartache? Sorrow? Challenges with our children? Challenges in the ministry? Experience of grief, the details of which I won't go into this morning, but I tell you the truth. Experience of grief that I thought no man could survive. And I mean that. I did not think any human being could experience the grief that we experience and survive. So when we stand before you and we say God is faithful, we mean that. We have experienced his faithfulness. And we are so thankful that we have done with our lives As we enter into our twilight years and we get ready to leave this world, we are so thankful that we have done with our lives what he wanted us to do. Can I ask you a question? What would you like to accomplish before you leave here? I don't mean this service today. I mean leave this body. What would you like to accomplish? What has God been talking to you about? What do you think your future holds? Where are your treasures? Where is your affection? Listen to God. And I promise you, if you listen to his voice and you follow his leading, as the years go by, and they go by so very quickly, you'll be so thankful that you listen to him. You'll be so thankful that you listen to him. One of the advantages to listening to God is having your prayers answered. One of the advantages of listening to God is having your prayers answered. Of course, all of us here know that we ought to be a praying people. You are commanded. Jesus didn't suggest it. Jesus didn't recommend it. Jesus, the word commands it. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me talk to you a minute about prayer and why that verse is so important. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let me tell you why that is so important. The World Health Organization, not a religious body, the World Health Organization has said that the biggest killer in 2020, do you know what it's going to be? Not cancer, not heart trouble, not sugar diabetes. The World Health Organization, Dr. Anna, has said the number one killer in 2020 will be depression. A survey did 2 years ago in Trinidad said 25% of all Trinidadians suffer with some degree, Sarah, of mental illness. 25%. And I believe that is reflective over the world. Depression, an age of Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's, and dementia, and mental illness. That's why prayer is so important, because hear what God says. Hear what God says. God says in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. Be worried about nothing. Be stressed out about nothing. Fret about nothing. Lose sleep over nothing. Don't age prematurely about nothing. Don't hustle to your grave for nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. By what? Philippians 4:6. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Every time you're praying, take a few minutes to stop and give thanks. Stop and give thanks. Stop and give thanks. Practice that in your prayer meetings. Practice that in your personal prayer life. During a time of prayer, stop. Take a Thanksgiving break and give thanks. And give thanks. If you look long enough, there are always things to stop grumbling about and be thankful about. God's been good to you. He got you up this morning. You didn't need anybody to help you get dressed. You drove yourself to church. You have a meal to go home and eat. There are so many things. I'm not accustomed to preaching 3 times in 24 hours. So forgive me. But hear what the word says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here is the promise. And the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. God was always the best cardiologist. God was always the best psychiatrist. Always the best psychologist. And his solution to our problem of anxiety is his peace. We are living in a day when science tells us that anxiety is a real enemy. It's a real threat to our peace and our well-being. God knew that, and he has provided for us his medicine. It's called the peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your mind. And the Bible tells us peace comes in measures. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law." Do you love God's word? If you love God's word, God says you'll have great peace. Great peace. If you don't love it, fall in love with it. If you don't have an avaricious appetite for God's word, develop one. If you neglect the word of God, repent of doing that. If you have an appetite, if you are like Jeremiah who said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name." Do you know when Jeremiah said that? Jeremiah said that just about the time when he said, "Oh God, you deceived me. You tricked me by putting me into the ministry." Jeremiah found himself down in a bottom pit, and he cried out to God, and he said, "I'll never preach again. I'll never represent you again." And in his depression and in his sadness, he discovered the sweetness of God's word, and he said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." And my friend, God's word is what will give you the greatest medicine in all the world. It's called the peace of God. The peace of God. Let me quote it again. Great peace have they. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can live that way if you listen to God. If you listen to him. If you allow him to counsel you and guide you and help you in every decision you make. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou shalt keep him," you know it, in what? Perfect peace. A peace that's impregnable. A peace that the world cannot give and can't take away. A peace that will keep you healthy in body and mind. A peace that will hold your family together and hold your finances together and hold your marriage together. It is the word of God. Colossians says, "By his word all things consist." And the word "consist" there means are held together. If God could hold the worlds together by his word, he can hold you together. He could hold your finances together. He could hold your family together. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And Isaiah 26:3, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed." Everybody say stayed. Stayed. Stayed on thee. "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Perfect peace comes as a result of having a mind stayed on God because he trusts in thee. Let me close by illustration from the Old Testament. We won't have time to turn to it, but I'm sure you know it. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. The man of prayer, the man Elijah. You know the story. Elijah was called by God, and the Bible says, when God spoke to Elijah, he just moved promptly and did what he had to do. When God spoke to Elijah, he moved promptly and did what he had to do. When God told him to go down to the brook where the ravens would feed him, he went down there, so it happened. When God told him the brook dried up and he led him to the widow's Zarephath, he went there and God provided. Because Elijah listened to God and did what God told him to do, the Bible says that God listened to Elijah and did what he told him to do. You think I am misquoting? You go home and read it in 1 Kings chapter 18, 17 and 18. Elijah said to God, at your word I have done this. And because I have kept your word, the fire of heaven fell upon Elijah's sacrifice, and the whole nation was affected. In the next chapter, when the woman's son dies, Elijah raises him back to life when there was no precedent. Nobody had ever been raised before to life. This is the first record of somebody coming back from the dead in the whole Bible. What gave Elijah that kind of boldness to pray for a dead boy to come back to life? What gave him that kind of faith? I'm telling you what it was. Because Elijah listened to God. God listened to Elijah. Friends, what I'm saying to you is that there are many, many benefits to listening to God. One of them is the secret to answered prayer. If you do what God says, God will do what you ask in prayer. Jesus put it this way: if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. I know you're a praying people, but how many of you would like to be a praying people whose prayers get answered? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for this great church that you've raised up. I thank you for their love and their excitement and their faith and their unity and their generosity towards their pastors during this special time in their lives. I thank you for giving me the honor of bringing them your word this morning. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would write upon their hearts and in their spirits the word you would like for them to retain. My word to Harvest Time this morning, both as a congregation and to you as an individual, I beg you to listen to God. Because as you do, you are guaranteed a life of peace, of joy, of wellness, of satisfaction, of contentment, of prosperity, of good success. Bless this dear people, Father. Bless this man, his wife, and their ministry team and this great church. We ask all these favors in Jesus' precious name and for your glory and honor. And all the people who agreed said amen. Thank you and God bless you.